Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
So I was talking to dad about this earlier, just a little bit ago, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Okay.
Okay.
If I'm a governor of a Republican state, you know, a much more red state, I actually think it would be a great idea. Number one, it would prove a point. Number two, it would be just funny, super funny, to try and open a state embassy in, like, California and New York. So, like, have an Ohio embassy in California and New York where you can come and claim sanctuary. And the funny part is you'd be, like, invoking the rights of the Constitution, even though supposedly they are supposed to apply in California and New York. So yeah, I want that. I want a building that's just the Ohio embassy, like to protect my own Ohio citizens who have like gone on vacation in California. When
and
something
in
really
which
bad
circumstances
happens,
would you go there?
To okay. run away from laws that don't apply, that the Constitution should protect you from?
I'll tell you the primary one, self-defense.
Yeah, if you defend yourself in like an alley, you just pop somebody, don't call
better,
the cops. Come to the Ohio embassy.
Book to an embassy.
Come to the Ohio embassy in L.A. What do you think?
San Francisco would probably be the first place I would put it, but L.A. would be a strong.
Yeah.
Maybe more than one.
Maybe, yeah.
They don't need to be big.
Well, L.A. is so spread out, you would need, yeah.
Branch offices.
But that's where more people are likely to be on vacation from your state, though. Like, if you were to pick a city in California that at any one time there'd be the most of the citizens from your state there, it would be L.A.
L.A. is going to be more than San Francisco. Yeah,
I'm still shocked when I see people intentionally going on vacation, taking trips to San Francisco and New York, in Chicago. It's just, I'm like, and then they just go out and sightsee. I can't imagine
doing that. Anyway, what do you think? How would that hold up legal system wise?
Well, I don't know about that, but I like the idea.
Well, I wouldn't
If
I was a citizen that had to use an embassy, say in California, I wouldn't be so concerned about how it held up. If it gave me time to get to the embassy and then get out of the state.
Yeah, you have to like evacuate your citizens from California.
They can fight over it for the next 6 months or a year or whatever. And even if they lose the case, I'm back home in friendly territory. I'm out
of land a helicopter on the roof and like evacuate them from California.
At least I'm out of Indian country.
Okay.
Can we use that expression anymore?
If you were in like a Republican state and you used Ohio. But let's be honest, the most likely person, which is still not likely, to do this is Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Oh, it wouldn't be here. I was saying if I were the governor somewhere.
Right, yeah.
I don't know of any governor who has the guts to do that, except you're right. It would be Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, if anybody.
That'd be
certainly
funny.
Not DeWine.
Heck no.
He's pretty milquetoast.
Maybe political John Wayne. Okay, I forget his name already.
Doug Burgum.
Burgum Mentum. He might do it.
Hey, he's still in it.
He is.
Yeah, but he's not. Didn't make the debate.
Technically,
he didn't make the most recent debate.
Technically,
right?
Technically, still in the race.
Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, he's not.
Speaking of the race,
he's only
Nikki
in
Haley
to take people's money.
Is now tied for pulling second in Iowa.
Tied with DeSantis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Trump's still. Light years ahead of them, but
no, yeah, he's tied with she's tied with DeSantis, though. It's
right.
Trump by a ton,
right? That's crazy, though.
And then Trump and then DeSantis and Nikki Haley.
And I heard someone talking about this because it could just be because DeSantis he's so close to Trump that let's say, like, if you hate Trump, then you're not going to take Trump without the baggage because even he's probably even more effective, Trump.
Oh, yeah. He would do far more damage to the left politically.
Right. So if you don't like, if you're like a wishy-washy or milquetoast Republican something, right? And you don't like Trump because his policies, or you don't like Trump, you know, policies and personality together, you're not going to like the non-controversial version of Trump. you know, and Nikki Haley offers something totally different.
Yeah.
But basically, what you're saying is, if you did one of those polls where you take somebody out of the poll and that person were Donald Trump, that Ron DeSantis would smoke Nikki Haley.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's what you're saying. I do too.
Don't you believe that?
100%. Yeah, they're not tied. Theoretically, yeah. They're not tied. Because nobody from Trump is going to not go with DeSantis for Nikki Haley. They're more likely to not vote at all. In which case, let's say half of them vote for DeSantis and half choose not to vote. Because they might. They're pretty dumb. Some of them are pretty dumb.
He's still winning.
DeSantis by a mile.
Right.
10 miles.
I actually think DeSantis first they would go to, and second I think it'd be Ramaswamy. Although he's really tarnished.
He's very much fallen off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's been labeled like the Obama of the race.
Yeah, well, he is.
It's impossible. He's never going to win now.
I wonder if more votes would go from Trump to Doug Burgum than to Nikki Haley.
No.
I don't think Trump voters like Nikki Haley.
None of the Trump votes will go to Nikki Haley. Except for people who only know Trump. And then would pick Nikki Haley on name recognition because they're too dumb.
And
that would be the only,
voters. Everybody doesn't know Doug Burgum?
Be like, no. I remember, I just called him political John Wayne. I forgot his name again. I have forgotten his name every time I've tried to think of him.
Okay, so here's the question I've been thinking about a lot the last week. And it came up when Pence dropped out. So somebody was joking, well, he's available now to be Trump's running mate, which obviously is never going to happen. But who's going to be Donald Trump's running mate?
Taylor Swift.
What if he just probably goes totally out of left
probably
field?
Taylor Swift.
See, that's what I think. I actually do. They keep naming all these other presidential candidates who are currently in the race. Well, is it going to be Vivek? Is it going to be Nikki? Is it going to be? And I'm thinking, you know what came to my mind? Now, I immediately dismissed it, but I thought it's not going to be any of those people. He's going to go get somebody, and the name Matt Gaetz came to my mind. Gaetz, Gaetz. Oh. But no, he would. I think you might lose some Republican votes with Matt
in
Gaetz.
In South Dakota, she's still kind
Kristi
of
Noem.
Throwing
yeah.
her out, herself
oh,
out there.
Oh, she's more likely than any of the other Republicans in the presidential
race.
No,
wait. Taylor Swift is obviously a joke, but
yes,
think about it.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to win by so much that they cannot steal it.
what about Rick Scott? Isn't that Scott from
about
South
him
Carolina?
A long time.
Rick Scott?
Tim Scott. Rick Scott is from Florida.
Oh, Rick Scott's from Florida.
Which one is which?
Probably.
There's
I
one
think
Scott,
Scott
that's from Florida. There's one
I think
that's
they're
the
a junior
from
senator
South.
From Florida. Rick Scott's from Florida.
Yeah,
I thought
guy.
That Rick Scott was the manager of Dunder Mifflin.
Tim Scott is who's
Michael
running
Scott is
for president.
The Republican from Florida. No, I'm just kidding.
Tim Scott is running for president.
Right,
yes,
from
South Carolina.
What? I mean,
he's the whitest black guy.
You can't. Well, they can say that, but why not somebody like him? Why not somebody like a Tim Scott for vice president?
Well, he definitely Trump has never to worry about him being overshadowed by Tim Scott.
That's true.
Or like his personality, you know, is
right.
very
right.
Yeah,
and I mean he's. He certainly leans conservative, even though
and the only problem that would come up if I were, let's say that I were on staff for Donald Trump right now, and I was an advisor, and he even suggested Tim Scott as his running mate, I would say, whoa, that's Black Mike Pence. Same guy, different skin color.
Kind of true.
They're the same guy.
I was just thinking, would Tim Scott?
I think you're right about that.
They're
I think
identically.
Lot,
they're ideologically the same with different skin color.
But can I say, Mike?
Except
Pence,
Tim Scott is gay. They think because
they
he has a fake girlfriend from Canada.
Okay, so the only difference is that Mike Pence would electroshock therapy Tim Scott.
Okay, Mike Pence, until it came to the election, he was a good vice president for Donald Trump.
I agree. Okay, so basically, if Tim Scott will admit that he thinks the election... That's the other thing. No one is even going to be considered unless Donald Trump could publicly ask them, do you think the election was stolen? And they would say yes. If they won't say that, he will not pick them. Guaranteed.
Okay, Cassidy, you said something in joking, just real quick. Mike Johnson,
Right, that's the Speaker of the House, right?
Yeah. I actually thought that, and I mean, we don't know that much about him right now in his governance.
Right. I just mean because it's a name that.
But what we know so far about him, I like him. Yeah. I think he'd be a good pick.
Yeah.
I do too. However, now that he's become the Speaker of the House and a Republican, he is hated. So he's already become.
Especially because when asked about what his worldview was, he said, open a Bible. That's my worldview.
Yeah, but he's not hated by Republicans.
I can't imagine that he is like a big fan of Donald Trump's, though. If what Cassidy just said.
That is, yeah. He said that, yes. He didn't say it's based on
the Bible. No, I know he did.
I
know that's what he said. I heard that. I'm just saying, I bet he's not the biggest Donald Trump fan. Probably when he heard him say 2 Corinthians, when he started telling a joke about 2 Corinthians walking into a bar. I thought for sure that was going to be the line that came after that. 2 Corinthians, walk into a bar.
I'm probably misremembering this, but I seem to remember or think that Mike Johnson did have questions or doubts about the 2020 election.
He did.
He did.
Okay, so?
No, he would be one that would, I'm definitely, if Donald Trump asked him or tried to, or told him, you can only be vice president if in public when you're asked, you say you think the 2020 election was stolen, he would do it. Not because like coercion, he'd be picking someone who legitimately believes it.
Well, with all
that is the only way Donald Trump is picking that.
With all the new information coming out, how do you not think that?
Stolen elections.
Yeah, I can't say that. You know, here's my thing. It's always been my thing. I can't say that I can't prove it was stolen. But what I can say is, we don't know. If you were to ask me that question, we don't know because it's never been truly, openly, fully examined.
On top of that, while they tell us, don't worry, elections are safe, 2 stories just came out. One is, how did that happen?
How did that happen? Why did balloons just go across Cassidy's screen? What was that?
I didn't click anything.
Did you do it?
No.
What did you say?
So weird. I don't know.
Election.
Okay.
Stolen election.
Stolen. Balloons on my face. Congratulations.
Okay. I was wondering if it's congratulations.
That is very weird.
That was weird. Okay, anyway. But these 2 stories that just came out. And one is that New York City Mayor Eric Adams' campaign is under FBI investigations for alleged foreign donations. They raided his top fundraising person's home.
He would never do that.
And the other is that an election... The mayoral primary in Bridgeport, Connecticut, the Democrat primary, the incumbent mayor, Joe Gannon, their videos surfaced of evidence of ballot stuffing, and they're, like, shocking. And so, but it wasn't enough. Like, it's not, you know, like, literally someone's going, look at all these, you know. And without very clear evidence, I guess, they can't just cancel it.
Well, the judge threw it out.
Yeah, he is making them redo the primary. Yeah, but I feel like you should be able to throw him off the list. But anyway,
right.
They're
if
not.
You, if
he's
you
still
cheated,
on.
You can't run again.
He's still on the ballot, and they're just a judge voted or ruled that they have to have a new primary. But get this, Joe Gannon, the incumbent mayor, so he was falling behind, and he predicted, "Don't worry, the absentee ballots are going to break my way." And then what do you know? Late absentee ballots, and that's how he won. But he previously served 7 years for bribery, racketeering, and mail fraud.
What?
After embezzling taxpayer dollars as the mayor of Bridgeport. And he was elected again, and now he's running as the incumbent.
He was convicted for that?
He served 7 years, yeah. And then they elected him again after he got out.
Shouldn't they pass a law that
so
you
shocker,
can't run for public office if you're a convicted felon?
What was that thing that Dad was talking about? Who was it that you said we don't have a politician problem? We have a people problem because people are so stupid that they'll keep electing. You know, prime example. That's that's insane.
Their dollars.
Yeah.
Well, can you say? Do you guys know the story of Marion Barry? Marion Barry was Washington, D.C. mayor. He was caught on camera with hookers and doing coke, big time coke. He got busted. I don't know if he went to prison or whatever. And some time went by, and they rehabilitated his image, and he ran for mayor of D.C., and they elected him again.
Hey, in other news, Rod Blagojevich is running for governor of Illinois. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so they have all this video, this ballot stuffing, right? But don't worry, elections are totally fine, it's totally safe, and 2,000 mules is conspiracy stuff.
I understand that you have to be a little crazy to believe all of the conspiracy theories, but you have to be absolutely insane, stupid, delusional to believe none of them. There's no way.
I actually heard Keith Melnick had an idea that I really liked, as opposed to having the no confidence vote, you know, as an option.
Mm-hmm.
Put no names on the ballot. You have to write in
always.
Who you want to vote
write
for.
In only?
That would eliminate like 90% of the people
because
voting.
People wouldn't know who to vote
exactly.
For.
It would also require them
I love
to all,
that idea.
It would also require them to be all hand counted.
Yeah, but think about handwriting verification. If you got 100,000 of them that the name written in all look alike, you know they're duplicates.
Yeah, but we also know they did that and nobody did anything.
Yeah, well, because you control the people who are counting the ballots. But still, I really like that idea. Now, I want to go back to Eric Adams. This Eric Adams story, and I thought, you know, nobody's going to want to talk about this, but this is interesting to me in that do I think that he would pull shenanigans in his campaign financing? Absolutely. And the FBI raided his top, I think, campaign finance person's home. That's who they raided and with questions of this.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that he would participate in that? Yes. Do I think that they care? No. This is not, the FBI does not raid leftists' homes for legal reasons. They raid leftist homes if they step out of line. And he has stepped out of line on the immigration issue.
Yes.
That's why they are raiding his home.
That's
and bringing up
point.
Questions about the finance, you know, campaign financing. He was on his way to meet and have meetings with about the illegal immigration. They had meetings scheduled and boom, they raided this lady's home. And so guess what? Those meetings didn't happen.
So what you're saying is they knew the whole time and they always know.
Yeah. They've always known, but they didn't do anything about it until he caused trouble on immigration.
And when it's most convenient, they use it. And,
exactly.
And honestly, Eric Adams really, from the beginning, he is liberal, but he is not nearly as extreme as a lot of them have become. He never has been.
No, but he's useful to them. He's been useful to them.
Yeah, he was. No, that's a great point. That is an astute observation.
Well, it actually isn't mine. It's Dan Bongino's.
Okay. I take it back.
No, I think he's exactly right.
No, he is.
Do you guys want to move on to the Israel and Hamas? Or is there anything else you want to?
I don't know. Sure. Let's talk about war. It's always fun. Brings up the mood.
The thing I wanted to say, and maybe we've communicated this before, but not, I want to say it specifically. If you're watching all of the Hamas and Israel conflict that's going on, I don't want you to be confused because of the terms they use. They keep talking about Israel bombing these refugee camps. And they're, these people are under occupation. Those words are not pertinent to this conflict. There's no one in Gaza that's a refugee. They are residents. They are not refugees. They did not flee from some other place to this safe haven to escape like war in, you know, Egypt or Jordan or Syria, or that's not how they got there. They're not refugees. They live in buildings that are, you know, 50 years old and multi-stories. They're called residents. That's where they live. They are governed by the government that they elected. They are not occupied by Israel. They view Israel, their argument is that what you would look out on a map as Israel, they say that's Palestine.
Yeah, when you hear them say when you hear them say free Palestine, they're not talking about the areas that are cordoned off, like,
right. They're not talking about Gaza and the West Bank.
They're not talking about the West Bank, and they're not talking about Gaza. They're talking about everything, and that's why they say from the river to the sea. They're talking about the Jordan River to the Med, and that's Israel. When they say that, they don't mean like let the Palestinians be free. They mean get rid of of Israel, the Jews.
Right. They mean to take where it says Israel on the map and erase that and write Palestine. That's what they mean. So don't be confused by those terms, because when you hear about refugees and you're occupied, it has a reaction, a natural reaction to be sympathetic for people who are in that condition. They're not refugees. They are residents governed by the government that they elected. And there is, if there's a Palestine, then you have to be, this was a great point I heard somebody make. If there's historically a Palestine and there's not, tell me who some of their great political elected office holders were. Tell me what their governing documents are, like we have the Constitution. Tell me what their monetary system is. What is their dollar, so to speak? None of that exists because they've never been a nation.
Does anyone know where there's a video clip of that guy who was, I can't remember what show I heard it on. He was responding to Mia Khalifa and he laid out the whole history of how Palestine historically was never anything. It never existed. I wish I knew where it was, because that is a very good explanation, and it's very succinct.
And all that's true, but I think it's even an added layer to it when you realize there's nobody ever been elected as a president, a leader, a Caesar, or whatever, you know, of Palestine. It's never happened. They've never had any kind of governing document. They've never had a monetary system. They've never had, because they've never been a nation. So another thing I find interesting is that why is it never, now I don't think this is a good idea. It wouldn't work because the UN hates Israel, but the UN created Israel. The UN gave Israel this land to be a nation once again for the first time ever since going into Babylonian captivity. Why is it never suggested that this not be taken to the UN? Nobody ever suggests that as a possibility to resolve this conflict.
Well, okay.
Because they don't want to resolve it, for one thing.
Here's the thing. The UN anymore does not like Israel. So Israel would be complaining that the UN, who issues sanctions on Israel all the time, is biased against them. And the other side would also insist that the UN is biased in favor of Israel because the UN created Israel, basically.
Right. And that's what I, but this, that's what I point. If I was an Israeli, I'd say, like, what do you complain at me for? They're the ones that designed this. Go talk to them. And as much as the UN hates Israel, they wouldn't disband the nation of Israel.
Why wouldn't someone go back to the UN, like the pro-Palestinians, and go, hey, take it back. If you did this, you can undo this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that never happens because they don't really want a resolution. You've probably heard the guys saying, the Muslim guys, the Hamas guys saying over and over, We're going to do this again and again and again and again. It's never going to stop. I mean, they just come right out and say it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, so like Hamas, they don't want the Israelis to just go away. They don't want the Jews to just go away. They want to kill them. And asking the UN to undo that and get rid of Israel is not the same as the UN going, yeah, kill them all. So that's why. You're right. They don't want the solution from the UN because it wouldn't be to kill all the Jews. And that's what they want.
Right. Here's the thing. And nobody, I don't hear anybody saying this, but this is the reality of it. You're never going to get rid of Hamas short of just killing every one of them. If you want to solve this, the people of Gaza need to get rid of Hamas.
That's going to be difficult because they are Hamas.
I know that, but that's the point. So the additional point onto that is, don't complain to me when some civilians, so to speak, get killed in these military, events. That's my thing. It's like, look, if you don't want people getting killed as we fight Hamas, then you need to rid yourself of Hamas. You are the ones who put them into power. You are the ones who still continue to support them. If you don't want us bombing your cities where we know the tunnels are and where we know there are facilities and we know there are leadership, then you need to rid yourself of them. Otherwise, we have no choice other than to militarily attack these areas. When the United States didn't want Britain anymore, we kick them out of the country. If the Palestinians in Gaza doesn't want Hamas anymore, they need to get rid of them. I mean, that's just that is the solution. And there really is no other solution short of other than just wiping them off the face of the earth.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen, so.
I know, because I'm not running the show.
Well, it's also not going to happen because they don't want to.
Who, Israel?
I'm saying the people of Gaza are never going to get rid of Hamas.
No, what I'm saying is I would stop worrying about who's civilian and who's not. Because if they support Hamas, then don't complain to me that you're getting blown up.
No, here's the thing. You do worry about who's civilian and who's Hamas. It's just that you don't shoot at civilians unless you're also hitting a Hamas target.
Right. So. But you can't say that,
That's easier to say than to be... Some of those
don't say easier
Israeli
said than
soldiers,
done because they're doing it.
Those
they're doing it.
Can you imagine?
They're
if
doing
you were
it.
Like
no,
18, 19
yes.
years old.
No, that's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. And as much as I do think Israel has the right to defend themselves, you need to understand that Israel still refers to them, does in fact refer to Palestinians as animals, as subhuman. They don't care. They really don't.
Yeah,
and
I
understand. I do understand that they need to defend themselves, and it's also terrible that women and children are being killed in the process. But don't think for a second that the people in the IDF aren't doing it without a second thought. They're not.
I would say if they think that they're going to have a problem, then you take them in and you set them down and you show them videos from October 7th before you send them into the field.
I don't think it bothers them as much as you think.
Well, they don't need to see the videos. They saw that.
I saw a video.
They were out there.
Okay. And as much as I'm still on Israel's side in this, Israel's done a little bit of messed up stuff in this, especially during the times when it hasn't been. I mean, there was a video of a Palestinian guy who was definitely, like, physically disabled. And I'm sure Hamas put him up to this. But he was throwing rocks at a checkpoint. Okay? He's throwing rocks at a security checkpoint. And they just shot him. So, and he was very clearly physically disabled and all by himself.
Palestine
all by himself.
Has also put out a lot of AI-generated images.
Well, I don't know. It looked kind of security camera footage. I literally watched
the video.
That
one might be. But there's one they put out. They're talking about Pat Gray this morning of like a kid that's like kneeling by his dead mom, but the kid has an extra finger, which is possible.
Yeah.
But
and again,
seems unlikely.
And again, I'm of the mindset that Israel should wipe out Hamas any way they have to. Don't think it bothers them as much as you think it does.
I thought about this. I thought about writing up, like, if I were a president, what would my speech be? And it would be something to the effect, like, you're holding American hostages. It'd be like, okay, you have until noon tomorrow to release them, all the hostages. And there's going to be somebody, there's going to be people from every nation to their confirm their identity and confirm that everybody is who they say they are and that everyone's been released. If that is not done by noon tomorrow, we are going to unleash everything as fast and as hard and to the fullest extent that we absolutely can, so that this ends as rapidly as possible. And the goal is that not 1 ounce of blood of Americans will be shed, because we will destroy you so hard, so completely, so rapidly that no American will be put into danger. So you have till noon tomorrow. End of story. That's it.
And then,
well, then
we don't. We, that's the way you fight war. That's the way we used to fight wars, but we don't do that since World War II.
Yeah. What? Then the fact of the matter is that when that happens, is that the civilians, the civilian deaths, are Hamas's fault because they're the ones that purposely place themselves.
Right. And here's the thing. And I would add this at the end of it. And the entire world, other than you, will be better off because we did that.
Remember, though, the goal is not to win wars or even end wars.
Right. Anyway. It's to not fight it.
It's no, it's the war is the goal. War is the goal.
Well, for these politicians,
is the goal.
But my point is like, I want to make that so realistic that they go, oh, we better release the hostages by noon tomorrow.
Yeah, but
so that we never have to fire the first bullet.
And you're right. That is obviously what should be done. That will never happen, not because they're incompetent. It has nothing to do with that. It's not because they're cowards. It's because war is the goal. They don't want to end the war. They don't want a solution. Because war is money.
When you say they, who do you mean they?
The military-industrial complex.
Yes, okay, I agree with that.
Who, I mean, consider the vast majority of politicians involved in that because they get kickbacks from it. They are they are just one part of that. So, yeah, we're never going to do what needs to be done because it's not profitable to end the situation.
Right.
It's profitable.
The last war...
It's profitable to ramp it up and then to spend a bunch of money arming ourselves for something that we don't intend to do. Win.
The last war that America truly just decisively won was World War II.
Yes. Even though we could have any of them.
Other than Grenada.
Yes.
Okay, did you know that Cole, because when he joined, technically, we were still in the global war on terror, that he got a ribbon for his dress uniform that's for serving during, not in, there's a different one you can get if you were actually like in action during the, but he has a ribbon for being in during the global war on terror.
Hmm. But somebody who gets in today,
I just thought that's funny.
They get a Ukraine, they're going to get a Ukraine ribbon though. When we do that. Also, an Israel ribbon and a Taiwan ribbon. So what have you seen of the Mayorkas testifying before Congress, especially the clips with Hawley?
I've seen Josh Hawley wanting to know why they've pulled like 600 agents away from other cases to make sandwiches for illegal alien kids.
I've just seen why all of a sudden the narrative's changed and now we're concerned this is a big security threat.
Well, that's not Mayorkas. I mean, I've seen that with Christopher Wray, the FBI director, telling us that
we're way high elevated.
That's like Eric Adams. This is not new information. This is now cover your rear end because some event is almost guaranteed to happen within the United States.
Yes.
Who wants to hear a clip of Mayorkas?
I do.
Lying. And you know he's lying.
I love Josh Hawley.
Because he's speaking. No, this actually isn't Josh Hawley.
Oh.
It's him refusing to say how many illegals have been let into the United States.
Sodium pentothal to everybody testifying.
I like it. This would fix this problem if we would just, you know, drug them before they test. That seems okay.
How many people has this administration let in by encountering, processing, dispersing, or that have come in as a known or unknown gotaway? What approximately? I don't need an exact number. So what do we got?
Senator, let me say.
I need numbers. Again, don't filibuster me. How many people has this administration led into the country?
Let me say at the outset that our job would be a lot easier if the broken immigration system was fixed.
No, Mr. Secretary, I want a number. How many people have you led into this country?
I should also
comment. Okay, I'll give you the number. It's about 6 million.
Okay, it's actually probably realistic 10 to 11 million. Okay, what I want to know is, when you say it'd be our job would be easier if we didn't have this broken immigration, can you please tell me how it's broken?
I know how to fix
it. Define for me how it's broken.
I know how to fix the immigration system.
There is
don't let anybody in.
Broken.
Build a wall.
Look, you come into a port of entry. We have designated ports of entry. We check your ID. If you're not here legitimately, we turn you around and we send you home. If there's nobody else
that
comes in, any other means, we send you home.
This idea that we have a broken immigration system is insane. No more legal ports of entry. We're closed for business. 10 years. 10 years at least, we're closed. No more.
Well, that's what I would do. I would just, day one as president,
minimum
I'd say,
10 years.
Immigration is shut down, period.
Until we get control of this,
until we get control of this, there is no more immigration.
Yep. Someone did that. Who did that, like, in the 60s?
It actually happened in the 30s, and we didn't open it up again until the mid-60s.
Okay, they opened it in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's a long time. There'd been so much
immigration, you know, Ellis Island and all that kind of stuff. They wanted to let people assimilate. So, I mean,
that's racist.
Like for 30, 35 years, there was no immigration, or very, very little. So.
You're trying to whitewash them.
So, it's hard for me to know who I hate worse. I mean, he's really, really bad.
Mayorkas?
And the thing you have to say about Mayorkas, he's not insane. Like, he's not had dementia like Biden.
I can make that decision for you by playing another clip, and then you will know who you hate more. Because the answer is Mayorkas. You just don't realize it yet. This we're gonna have to play and pause this a bunch. This is the Holly.
Okay.
You know, when he's getting absolutely skewered by Josh Hawley.
May your conscience haunt your dreams until your last breath. Palestine will be free one day. F apartheid Israel and is any Israeli. What, this is pretty extreme rhetoric, don't you think?
Senator, I do, and I think there is a distinction between espousing or endorsing terrorist ideology and speech that is odious, that does not rise to that level.
Fair enough.
I'm already going to pause. Don't let him speaking words like odious and whatever like that confuse you from the fact that he just defended that. What Josh Hawley just read, and if you didn't catch it all, hit the rewind button a couple times, listen to it again, and then Mayorkas defends it. That was him defending that statement. Absurd. And you're going to find out in a little bit more of this clip that
this is
a tweet that was posted by someone who works for DHS.
This person works for you. This is Nuja Ali, an employee of the Department of Homeland Security, who posted these comments on October the 7th. That's not all she posted. She also posted this graphic. Now, this is a fake graphic, I want to be clear, but I think we understand it. This is a paraglider, a Hamas paraglider, depicted here with a machine gun flying into Israel. She posted it under her online alias with the celebratory Free Palestine. Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these frankly pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
This person work?
Does she still work there? Because if she does, then it in fact is.
Isn't she like suspended or some sort of
investigation? Yeah, she's just suspended. Yeah. But then he goes into these, and by the way, right. I would like if you get a chance, go and watch this video, because I really like how much of a beta you can really tell Mayorkas is when he gets mad, because he was mad. He was like number one. And then he got this like this attitude, but you know that it's backed up by absolutely nothing.
It is crazy. He was really upset.
Yeah, he was mad. He was like, how dare you? But it's disgusting. Oh, are the tweets just not disgusting?
He's the kind of guy that you want to take and you want to just beat him with a bag of oranges. I mean, just it's so.
What?
I'm being kind.
I was going to say. But then he won't get scurvy. I'd rather him get scurvy.
He'll be sticky.
That's true.
This is a guy that the police would rubber hose them.
I want to listen to it more. Makes you more mad. By the end of this, I promise you, you'll know who you hate more, Merrick Garland or Alejandro Mayorkas.
For the Department of Homeland Security, have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide, and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question? Has she been fired?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Secretary.
After the consumption of Senator Hawley's time, I'd like to...
Has she been fired?
So... that individual has been placed on administrative leave.
So she's not been fired?
Number two.
Why has she not been fired?
Number two, the individual was hired in 2019.
Why has she not been fired?
Number three.
That's relevant.
Yes,
that's relevant that she was hired in 2019. I don't even understand that. And when he says to me, that was only number one of four answers. I don't want four answers. I want one answer. Does she still work there? Then I get my answer, and then I only want one more answer. That's two. That's two. I only want two answers to two questions, not four answers to one question. And because the second question is why? Why does she still work there? Give me one answer, not four. I don't want a four-part taking up all my time. Lying,
well, you know,
you're a liar,
Cade. But Cade, it would be a lot easier if the immigration system wasn't broke and they had to, you know, work with that.
Yeah, that'd be really convenient if he like oversaw. The immigration.
He was in charge and he could do something about it.
Yeah, that would be super useful if like that was something he could do. Oh, no. Man, it's totally out of my control. I only head the entire Department of Immigration.
I asked this question several weeks ago. All these people, I think it was Merrick Garland was a liar. All these people come and they can't answer anything about anything. Why do they work there? Why do they have jobs? They know nothing. They do nothing.
Who's in control?
Oatmeal brains.
Obama.
That's true. Obama. Okay.
I cannot speak to an ongoing personnel matter.
Why?
Hogwash.
Why has this person not been fired? Your answer is you can't speak to it? This isn't sufficient to fire her?
I am not in a position to speak to an ongoing personnel matter.
Isn't sufficient to fire her? That's what you're telling me?
That is not what I'm saying.
But she's still on your payroll as we sit here today.
That is not what I'm saying.
She's still on your payroll as we sit here today.
Senator?
How many cases?
What I'm saying is we've only suspended her so that we can bide enough time till you'll forget about it.
She's on administrative leave.
Till you'll forget about it, and then we can find a way to sneak her back in and nobody will know.
Yeah, because she does other things that we really like.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm a United States senator. I'm telling you and giving you permission. You can tell me.
Yeah, listen to me, you unelected bureaucrat. You're sitting before Congress. This is what we do. You will answer the question.
What does it take to remove these people? Secretaries?
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
You can impeach them. Yeah, and the fact that no one has even attempted.
A lot of people have that question.
Attempted it is crazy.
He could have been impeached long before Joe Biden.
All of these people could be impeached not only for being, I mean, they've all blatantly lied up there and been caught lying. Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas. How many times did Fauci get caught by Rand Paul lying to Congress?
Yeah.
They should be impeached for that alone.
Yeah, he's definitely Rand Paul nailed him repeatedly.
Welcome to your job performance review. Spoiler alert, it's bad. It's not good. Do you want to listen to the rest? It's like a couple more minutes, but I think you get the gist. He won't answer.
I want to hear the sandwich, making sandwiches.
I don't know if this has making sandwiches in it.
Oh.
This is pretty much just about the pro-terrorist that we have working in the Department of Homeland Security. The Hamas sympathizer in DHS that they won't fire. No, that's not sufficient.
She's just processing refugees and asylum seekers or something like that.
Excuse me? That can't be
Didn't
real.
He say that one of her job was something about asylum seekers? Had to do with asylum seekers?
Is that in this clip that we haven't heard yet?
Yes. No, we already heard it.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just so mad that I wasn't listening. Okay. She's a terrorist sympathizer who decides who from the Middle East does get to enter this country?
Yeah.
We're doomed. She is the device with which they set up sleeper cells in the United States. She would have let all 13 hijackers into the country. I promise. Bottom line is, we all know, Alejandro Mayorkas is a liar. He should be impeached. He should be impeached 100 times over.
Yeah.
Oh, and also there's terrorists working in the DHS.
Well, yeah. We talked last week about the Iranians. Yeah.
That are already in the Pentagon.
Yeah. So. This has really hit me recently, just watching the events since, you know, Hamas attack in Israel. We have a lot of crazy things, obviously, going on in this country. You know, the political stuff, the social stuff, this science baloney with, you know, what we come through with COVID and the hoax of global warming and
don't forget
and the economy and transgenderism
hoax.
And I mean, all that stuff. But there's one thing that it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, this to me is more immediate and terrifying than any of that. I mean, what to you guys is the most?
Are we trying to guess
first
what
all,
you think is
you
the
really,
most terrifying?
What do
I
you
think?
Think?
A lot of it, if not all of it, it's really hard to separate because it all comes from the same. It's all coming from the same sickness, the same ideology, you know? But then I would also just say, which one is the most demonic? Because that's probably it.
I have a question.
Okay.
Don't you think Hamas should change their... Don't you think that they would want to change their name since the beginning of the... Their name is Ham?
It's not Halal.
Yeah. The name of their terrorist organization is Haram. It's Ham. I don't know. I don't know why I just thought that. But that,
okay.
I'll be like, hey, we can't be naming ourselves after pork dishes. That was it.
Okay. So the thing to me that all of a sudden is like it's next level above all of this other stuff is the anti-Semitism. I never had any idea that it was this bad, this pervasive. I just have the sense of things that I'm watching that...
Arguably, that would also be the most demonic.
Yes.
There are billions of people on the face of the earth right now that would put them back in the train cars. And that's never been more obvious than right now. That's what I'm saying.
And that's my point. I realize, I've never thought that, but I realize that we are just one little speck away from where if all of a sudden that little speck happened to where it became okay to physically begin to violently go after the Jews, they would do it. There are millions of people around the world that would, it would become the purge. It could happen like literally one little thing and overnight we are in the middle of the purge against the Jews.
And unfortunately, the Jewish people, this is the reason why Israel was created by the UN, because they aren't safe. They aren't safe anywhere outside of Israel. And they're even less safe than they've ever been before because of this mass migration from the Middle East into Europe. The Jews in Europe are in so much danger right now.
They are painting
Stars of David, on houses of Jews in France. Businesses. Yeah. Total intimidation.
I believe that happened somewhere in America too. I think it happened in New York. Mm. Don't quote me on that, but
we grew up in a time after World War II where it was like never forget, never forget, never forget. But at the same, I mean, so that's what you think. Okay, the world realizes how horrible that was. But so to see the reaction to the Jews now is it's a little shocking. I mean, it's more than a little shocking, because I really feel like if somebody who they felt could legitimize it would legitimize it, you'd see the purge begin to take place. I mean, Jews wouldn't be safe anywhere. They'd literally begin to be slaughtered.
And then we would be next.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing that, like, right now, if let's say we had, like, a Jewish school or something in our area to where they were getting harassed or threatened, I would fully kit up, and if Cade knows what I'm talking about, I'd kit up and I'd go there and I'd stand there as security. I'd stand on their property and I would act as security for them, and I would hope there'd be other people that would join me. Because if you think that they're alone, and once they stop with them, that they're not coming for you, then you're nuts. Did you guys hear the guy that went around and was asking people to sign the what do you call those?
Petition.
We have people sign.
Describe
petition.
It. Petition.
Sign the petition for support of Hamas in Palestine. But he said before he signed, because I have to read you the terms and conditions. And so he begins to read parts of Sharia law. And they're like,
yeah.
No, I can't sign
right.
that.
We
I can't
support,
sign
like,
that.
Women. Yeah.
Yeah, people are, if you ask people, I was like, show them a map and say, can you point to me where Israel is? Can you point to me where Gaza is? Can you point where? What do they mean when they say from the river to the sea? What river do they mean? What sea do they mean? That 95% of them wouldn't be able to tell you.
That's right. It is the height of irony when, like, these queers for Palestine and all this stuff.
When it comes to Middle East, these are the answers you would get, I promise. Which river and which sea? You'd hear this. From the Nile to the Dead Sea. No, maybe the Red Sea. I don't know. Which one do you think would be?
I don't know if they could name a
Cade,
sea.
They don't know that. They don't know the Nile River.
They might get the Nile.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Now,
I don't think they know.
Here's
the
thing.
River in the area.
Here's the thing. They would assume. I don't even know. Is
not
the
correct
the Nile
river,
river. Is that even like, is that the Middle East? Is
Egypt
the Middle East?
Egypt
is Africa.
No, Egypt
but
is
it's
Africa.
Also kind of the Middle East. Yeah.
But is it?
It's
is
also
it
the
kind of the Middle
yeah,
East?
But the Middle East isn't a continent.
Yeah, it's because it's some in Europe and some in Asia and some apparently in Africa.
Yeah,
some
it's
in
basically
Africa.
The Suez area.
Some in Africa.
I mean, it surrounds the Suez, basically. So,
I think the Nile.
That's how Arabs
East,
call
but
their pigs.
It's not the correct river.
No, wait, they can't have pigs. They go Suez, but I forgot they can't have pigs.
I'll tell you one thing I want to talk about before we end.
Hey, wait a minute. Then why did the prodigal son end up feeding pigs?
Oh. Those were... I don't know. What'd they use them
for? Whose pigs were those? They were the... They were the pagans' pigs.
Pagans' pigs. That's a name of a barbecue joint.
In biblical times?
He was working for a Roman. No, probably.
Yeah.
He could have been working for a Roman. They lived in the Roman Empire.
Right.
I love speaking in absolutes, and if you haven't noticed, EVs will never work as we currently know technology. It's over.
They are
Stop
losing
it.
A
Stop
lot
it.
Of money.
Yes.
A lot of
Ford
money.
Has lost almost, they've lost over $2 billion in 6 months. They're on track to leave $4.5 billion this year. They lost $3 billion last year and I think two something the year before. It doesn't work. You can't do it.
I was talking to Dad a little bit ago about this subject. And the thing that I have noticed, you ever notice how Toyota hasn't really gotten in to the full-on EV game like everybody else has? Because they tried it years ago, a decade ago, and they quit very quickly and basically told the rest of the car industry, don't do it. It isn't going to work. So they're like the only ones right now who aren't completely embracing it because they learned their lesson. But yeah, it's never going to work. I really do. I like the, if you get a chance, there's a clip of a guy who drives truck for the logging industry in Canada. I saw an article on The Blaze about it and played the clip. It is good. He sounds like a rocket scientist compared to some of the politicians we have to listen to nowadays. And he's absolutely right. It's not going to work. He talked about how much power consumption it would take in power measured in watts that the trucking industry, it's kind of a niche trucking market within Canada. It's only about, he said 500 trucks. Those trucks would consume more power in watts than than a hydroelectric dam that they're creating would produce. Three times as much.
Yeah, three times more energy than that dam could produce.
And on top of that, you have to be able to, in a single day, move all of that power into those trucks. There is no charging system in existence that could do that.
Yeah, and he talked about the weight of the size of the batteries. There have to be three of these massive batteries, and how I forget the weight.
The majority of the weight of the vehicle of carrying giant logs would be batteries.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Maybe we'll find the link and put it in the show notes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we'll put a link to the video.
I would have loved to have been. I would have loved, like I was telling Kate, I would have loved to have been an auto exec in one of these companies when they started. Government was pushing all this EV stuff, and I just say, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because it's not going to work. It's not possible to work. And when this finally collapses, we are going to be so far ahead of everybody else because we will have never been down this. We will have never wasted our time and money going down this road. We can just continue to develop. And there's more and more people starting to realize that oil is not fossil fuel. It's just a renewable goo. I saw a story where they just recently they went back to they had pumped these fields half of the oil out of them, and then it became where economically to get the other 50% was no longer economically feasible. It didn't make sense. I mean, you could do it, but it just didn't make sense. So, 40 years something? I think it was it's gone by. They went back and they rechecked these fields. They're full again, so they're starting to pump again.
There must have been
because it's just renewable goo.
Must have been some more dinosaurs that died recently. What? That would be a fantastic plot for the next Jurassic Park movie. They're only creating these dinosaurs and they're just farming them for oil. Oh, that would be amazing. I'm pitching that. Cut this from the show so that I can send
Michael
that script
Crichton's
to them.
Not.
They're just, how they complain all the time about mass farming where they have all these cattle packed together in these tight little confined spaces or chickens and it's terrible conditions for the animals. They should do that, but with dinosaurs, and they're only raising them to produce oil. Some crazy Texas hat, oil tycoon with a cigar in his mouth, just laughing and like rolling around in a thing of money, and he's just murdering dinosaurs and turning them into oil. Great movie.
Michael Crichton could actually write, I could see him writing something like that. I've read almost all of his books at this point, but he's dead. So now you're relying on the current
somebody still
people who have the rights to Jurassic Park.
They could demonize the oil industry.
Yeah.
They would do it in a heartbeat. They might tweak it my idea a little bit to make it more oil industries evil.
Okay, but I want a band. I want a band. I want to name it Renewable Goo.
I don't want to say what that
I
reminds me of.
I have some other thoughts. Yeah. We're both sitting here
Well, you know what? I hadn't thought of it either until it came out of my mouth. And then something came to my mind that they might get the wrong impression of what I was talking about.
Everybody got the wrong impression.